The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Going to look at and you say, oh well, he doesn't have faith. But like we saw yesterday, there are believers who do not know how to exercise their faith, who do not know how to release their faith. So I don't think believers should be taught on how to have faith. The reason is because faith came into you at salvation. Remember I said that yesterday? Faith came into you at salvation. And so what we need to be taught, you see, is how to release our faith. How to release our faith. How to exercise our faith. How to deploy our faith and cause it to work. And I already began to show yesterday how that we do that via speaking. You see, that teaching yesterday night is one very important thing you must learn. If you are going to be a faith giant, you must learn how to, by your words, release your faith. Release your faith. That's how we work things on earth. That's how things work on earth generally. I feel what I'm saying. That's how things work generally. You have a shop. Business is not moving. Release your faith. Those words you speak will cause things to align. You have something going wrong. Release your faith. You want to have a better life. Release your faith. I showed you Proverbs 18 verse 20 yesterday. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So, in other words, if you've not learned how to talk, you've not learned how to win in life. You remember yesterday I was showing you how that we are, Jesus said, every idle word we speak, we will give account of it. Remember that? Every idle word. And when the Bible talks about give account of it in the door of judgment, you know, let's go to that scripture. I just want to say something about that place. That's not what I want to talk about today, but I just felt a pull towards that. Glory to God. Every idle word. That should be in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 26. Matthew 12 and verse 26. Oh, glory to God. Matthew 12 and verse 26. Are we there? Let's do it together. Come on, come on, come on. Let's go together. No, no, no. That's not what I'm looking for. 36 rather. Forgive me. Verse 36. 36. Let's go together. Now verse 37. He said, by thy words you shall be justified, by thy words you shall be condemned. I get the point. And so when it has to do with justification or condemnation, that's why you heard Brother talking about the fact that when we believe yesterday, so when we preach salvation to you, we ask you to talk. You say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. You are speaking. That same way your words can condemn you. Are you following me? NLT of that verse said, a good person, okay, verse 36, I tell you this, you will give account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. So if you've not learned how to talk, you might be the one bringing condemnation upon yourself. Do you know, there's something I want to say. People can bless you. People can curse you. How do they do that? With words. But, actually, nobody's word is more powerful in your life than your own words. So, if someone says, I bless you, and you do not say, amen, I receive, you will not be blessed. And that's not because the blessing has not gone forth. That's because you've not received and accepted it. And so if you must understand, so that's if somebody says, I curse you. That's why I teach people this. Never be a silent Christian. Never. Because when people say, I curse you, you will not make it. You can actually, you know, what people normally say, God forbid. No, I don't even talk like that. What I do is, whatever you say to me, I will say the opposite of what they are saying to me. When somebody says, you will not make it. Well, first of all, when you say I will not make it, it doesn't move me. The reason is, because I told you yesterday, faith speaks ahead. Long before you said I was not going to make it, I've been telling myself that I cannot fail. I cannot fail. I cannot be stranded. So all those things you are saying will have to stand against what I've been saying to myself all the while. Are you following me, friends? And then what I'm going to even say about myself after. Because what happens is, I don't know if I can explain this now. When words go forth, words do not walk in space. The actual place words walk is in the heart. I guess what I'm saying now. So if I walk up to you and say something to you, you understand why I was talking about consistency yesterday. If I say something to you, now, why is it possible that somebody can say, Lord Jesus, I believe you, yet he's not born again? Because what he's saying is not, he doesn't believe it in his heart. So even though he's voicing something, his heart is not agreeing with it. You know what I'm saying? So when somebody comes to you and says, you will not make it, that word begins to travel, is looking for root in your heart. If that word can find root in your heart, that means it enters, you begin to believe it, then you will not make it. But if that word does not find root in your heart, it won't work. That's the same way blessings work. So if I come to you and say, you see why bad things happen to people more than good things? Because there is something in us that allows us let bad words take root in our heart more than good words. An example I always give, if you are leaving church now, after the service, and I say, how far? You say, fine. I say, don't worry, you are blessed. You just say, amen, no. You know, go reason them too much. Then as you're walking down there, one man wearing black and red with feather and chalk in his eyes. With what's that they used to carry? What they call it? OG. What do you call it in English? Oh God. So he's carrying the thing and he just runs around and draws a circle. I say, you, your own, don't finish. Now, the person that hears that. Now, this is the person I said you are blessed upside. I told you are blessed upside. He just said, amen. No, he forgot I ever said that. But he will go out and say, God forbid, it is you that will not. You now go home. He begins to think about it. What is happening? That word is settling. Eventually, that word settles and he doesn't make it. I told you guys recently, somebody called me. Okay? On Truecaller, the number was showing Dibia. Real life story. And the person said, you did this, they submitted your name to my shrine. You will see. I gave a long hiss. I ended the call. But I know how the devil works. The next thing is, that word is trying to find root in your heart. I guess you get what I'm saying. That's why the devil works by intimidation. Intimidation works by repetitive hearing. That's why we go back to this. I said, you must speak to yourself a lot. Because when you speak to yourself too much, what you are saying to yourself, you're also hearing it, it's settling in your heart. So by the time people saw that things to you, if that word will not find its root in your heart easily. When I just said it, I just ended the call. And something told me, I wanted to call him back because I'm a very dramatic and brutal person. I want to call him back and say, see, you fear, no fear you. The person will tell you, we won't call. But the Holy Ghost said, block his line. I don't know where he is. I don't care where he is. And there's been no whatever. A lady has looked at me, possessed of the devil, full of evil spirits, and looked me in the eye. Says, 7 days, you are dead. If you live beyond 7 days, then you will know that we are not kitty. Then he said that. I just laughed. Problem is, I didn't remember it. Well, I remembered it about 21 days had passed. And I was still alive. Do you know why? That word did not find root. Are you following? I'm talking about everybody. So when words go forth, where they actually work is in the heart. Blessings or curses. Which is why it's good to repetitively say things to yourself. Because the more you say them to yourself, they're settling in your heart. Because you keep hearing the things you say. Are you following what I'm saying? You keep hearing things you say. So they keep settling. So it's not actually what people say to you that will kill you or destroy you. It is how you receive what they say to you. So in this meeting now, somewhere in this meeting, I lay hands on you and say, oh, you are this, that, you're blessed. You say, amen. Some people will leave this meeting and forget those things. They don't even remember it ever happened to them. Then they wonder why it did not happen. Words work actually in their hearts. So how things happen on earth is when your words and your heart agree, there must be results. Did you hear what I said now? When your words and your heart agree, there must be results. So you see what Jesus told them in Mark 11:23. He said, pull it up, Mark 11:23. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed. So whosoever shall say, what do you use to say? Are you here? Talk to what do you use in speaking? Your mouth. So whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt where? In his heart. So his mouth and his heart must agree. Then there will be results. So what if I'm saying, I'm blessed too, I'll make it too, and yet I really don't believe those things I'm saying. Will it work? No. Should I stop saying it? No. What is going to happen is that the more you keep saying those things you don't believe, you will say them and hear them enough, you eventually begin to believe them. Just like I'll tell you, repetitive speaking and repetitive hearing is actually how to get stronger in faith. Like I always give this example with names. And it always works because repetitive hearing is powerful. If, what's your name? Huh? Miracle. You have a second name? What's the second name? Huh? Chizrumoke. Do you have a third name? Huh? Huh? Just have two names. Who has five names? Aha. What's your first name? Speak up. Jude. Duke. Secondly. Chikelo. Chinedu. Number three. Vincent, number four. Akachuk, number five. Kes. Kent. Okay. So, we have Vincent, Chinedu, Akachuku, Duke, Kent. Which one do you answer more? Which one don't you answer at all? Akachuku. So if you are the marketplace and hear someone shout Akachuku, will you respond? You don't even know they're talking about you. Why? But it's your name. You wouldn't know because they've not been calling you that name often. So somewhere, even though it's your name, that name has not registered in your heart as your name. I get the point. But if you hear somebody say Vincent, you will most probably respond immediately. Because that name has, now look at this. Akachuku is his name. Vincent is his name. But he responds more to one. That one that he has been hearing regularly. This is why it's important that you hear the word of God often and you speak it yourself often. Because your heart will eventually respond to what it has been hearing for a very long time. So if you've been hearing, if you've been saying to yourself, you will never be stranded. You will never be stranded. You've said it for 1 year, 2 years. Now your heart has accepted that. Whenever there is an issue, your heart will respond to that issue. You will not be stranded. But if you've been saying, ha, this country, there are no jobs. Job for where? There are no jobs. It's certain in your heart. Are you following me? Eventually, when you will need a job, there will be no job. Because your words and your heart have formed a team and they've agreed that there is no job for you. So words are very powerful. Amen. I'm just trying to do a recap of what I said yesterday. Hallelujah. So words are very powerful. So you put God's word on your lips. You speak it again and again. Now, let's touch something this morning. You know, faith always works, right? Faith always works. Always. And there is something you need to know. There is one reason why people struggle in their faith walk. That thing is called, I'll just be saying a lot of things as God puts in my heart. Because I have a very long note. I don't think I can exhaust them. So there is something that makes faith work. Or makes faith not work for people. Now, the faith of God always works. But people, I've seen people that try to release their faith, and yet that faith fails. It doesn't mean the faith of God has failed. It just means you failed in the release of your faith. One major issue we can deal with this morning is the issue of guilt and condemnation. Once you feel you are guilty, once you feel you are condemned, once the devil fills your heart with that consciousness of you're a sinner, you're not a good person, even when it's time to release your faith, because in your heart already, you're already feeling condemned, when you be saying things with your mouth, your heart will not agree with it, it's not going to work. So you look at James 5 verse 16. It says, the effectual prayer of the righteous man. Why did he use righteous man there? He said, look at that. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that he may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. Why did he use righteous man? Because there is need for a consciousness of your righteousness when you come to pray. Why people's prayer don't work is because they come to prayer with a consciousness of the fact that I'm a sinner. God is angry with me. I'm not doing well. Once they bring that consciousness to prayer, they will not have results. So that is a consciousness you carry and you bring to the place of prayer. That is the consciousness of righteousness. Because if the devil can convince you that you're a sinner, that God is angry with you, that you are not good enough, even if I ask you to pray, you will not pray well. Because somewhere in your heart you believe, will God answer a sinner like me? And that's why the revelation of your righteousness is very important. Listen, let me explain this to you. The day, if I hear it from the first day, if I hear yesterday night, the day you came into Christ Jesus was the day you received righteousness. So Corinthians 5:21, look at that. We're going to read it together till it enters. Okay, if I'm able to achieve this today, you'll be able to go home better. Let's read together. Come on, let's start again. Who knew that we might be made? So when he said, for he had made him, who is the first he there? Not Christ. The first he there is God. He has made him. Who is the him there? Christ. So God made Christ to be sin, even though Christ knew no sin, so that we might now be made the righteousness of God. So look, let me tell you how righteousness works. Okay? Did Jesus ever sin? Ever. Ever. But he was made sin. So that you, who has never done righteousness, when you receive him, you become righteous. So it's an exchange. Jesus took your sin, and then you take his righteousness. So once you've accepted Jesus, you've received his very righteousness. So you see, righteousness is actually not what you do. First of all, it's about who you are. So people see righteousness. Are you righteous? People say, well, I don't know, because me, sometimes I used to lie. Yes, all those things are righteous deeds you need to do. But before the righteous deeds come in, there is need for a righteous nature. Once you are in Christ, you're already a righteous man. Already. Amen. Put up NLT of this verse. NLT. Let's do it together, everybody. Once NLT comes up, let's go. Who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins, so that we could be made right with God. So how many of us are right with God here? How do you know you are right with God? God made Christ to be sin. So when he took my sin, I took his righteousness.
That is the consciousness you bring to prayer. If not, you will just be speaking words. Your heart will not agree with what you are saying. Because somewhere your heart is telling you that you are a sinner. You know, one of the hardest periods to release your faith is when you've made mistakes. Right? Because that time you are speaking, something is telling you like this. What do you even know you are saying? Do you think God will answer this? You know, all those doubts, all those things that keep springing up in your heart. Those things are the things rising against your faith. It's called guilt. Now, guilt is a very terrible thing. Many people are not preaching the word of God today because they think they are not. Let me be good first if I take off preaching to another person. That's the voice of guilt talking. That's condemnation. Romans 8 verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ. Just no condemnation. No condemnation. Amen. And so if you've not dealt with the issue of guilt, the issue of condemnation in your heart, you will just come to release your faith and something else is talking to you. Do you think you are good enough? Do you think you can do this? You like this want to cast out devil. You like this one. Don't want, let this devil catch you. You know the Bible tells us that there were 7 sons of Sceva. They went to cast out devil. The devil pursued them and beat them up. Now you want to cast out devil. This devil will pursue you out of this room. What is talking to you? The voice of your guilt, the voice of condemnation is talking to you. And this is why you need to know again and again that God has made you righteous. God has made you righteous. God has, I don't know what you've been hearing from where you're coming from, but I want to tell you, God has made you righteous. Young people need to realize that God is not there counting their sins one by one. No. God has declared you righteous. Romans chapter 4. Let's see like NLT. Verse 3. Romans 4 verse 3. Let's read together, everybody. For the scriptures tell us, Abraham believed God and God counted him as righteous. Why? Because of his faith. So have you believed God here? So have you believed God? So what does that mean? God has counted you as righteous. See the next verse. When people walk, their wages are not a gift, but something they have earned. Verse 5. But people are counted as righteous, not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. So you can put your name there. Henry is counted as righteous, not because of his work, but because of his faith in God who forgives sinners. Do we try that? Put your name. Let's go. Do you want to talk? Let's be on our feet, everybody. Let's put our voice together. All of us, stand. Let's go together. Are you afraid of calling your name? Let's try it again. Let's try that again. But Henry is counted as righteous, not because of his work, but because of his faith in God. Do you want to shout a big amen here now? So we have encountered righteous. That is how faith works first. Because it starts from here. Are you still here? It starts from here. So when you are speaking, your heart is agreeing because you know who you are. A revelation of your righteousness. Glory to God. Glory to God. Say, I'm righteous. Stand straight with confidence now. Say, I'm righteous. Shout it again. Shout it again. Shout it again. Preach it to 3 persons by your side. Tell them you are righteous. Tell the person. I didn't say it. I said preach it to them like a man of God. Preach it. Say you are righteous. Glory. Glory to God. Yeah, have your seat. Have your seat. You must. It's a revelation. So before you begin to say, I don't know why my faith is not working. It starts from here. If the devil can fill your mind with, you are not good enough, you have sinned, you've lied, you've done this. Have you done all those things? Well, maybe.
But people are counted as righteous not because of their work, but because of their faith in God to forgive sinners. So when you hear me preaching, don't ever think, pastor is preaching because he doesn't ever make mistakes. Well, God is bringing us to a point. One of the things God will do for you as you grow in your walk with God, your mistakes will keep getting smaller because you're getting better. But please note that that is not the basis for your righteousness. You're righteous because of your faith in Christ Jesus. In fact, go to that 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Let's use the New Living Translation. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Let's read together. Okay. The old life has gone. A new life has begun. Continue verse 18. All of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling. I want to stop at verse 19. Read verse 19, everybody. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sin. So God is no longer, is not counting your sin against you. Are you getting what I'm saying? So when you come to pray, you don't begin to say, how much God is going to answer me? Me that it's right. Me that did. The focus is, God is not counting my sin against me. You see, whether you're hearing what I'm saying for the first time, or you've heard it for like 100 times, this has to settle in your heart and stay there. If not, at different times, it will interfere with your faith work. It's a revelation of righteousness. It will interfere with your faith work at different points. At different points. Maybe even your own personal life. Amen. You know, somebody was telling me, and this is how the devil operates. Someone was telling me yesterday of, you know, one of our people was telling me yesterday of someone that came to church. And, you know, things have not been moving well for him. So he went to visit a native doctor to find out why things are not moving well for him. So he got there. Amidst many other things they told him. They told him he has to, that he has to wash his hand. And they had to coin up some things that he did sometime in his past as the reason why things are not working well. You see, it's the devil's game. He plays with guilt. He plays with condemnation. Now, should you live in sin? No. But can I even say to you, there are people who are not even born again at all, but things are moving well for them. Is that true? So why should the devil make you feel that it's because of this, and that you did whenever, that's why things are blocked? No, that's the lie of the devil. And that's how he operates, with lies. You're actually a righteous man now, without works. Go back to that Romans 4. Let's see verse 5 again. People are counted as righteous because of their faith in God, not because of their works. That's NLT. That's what they say. Now, see verse 6 of that Romans 4. See verse 6. Watch. David also spoke of this when he described of the happiness of those who are declared righteous without working for it. Verse 7. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Say, my sins have been put out of sight. Do you want to shout? Say, my sins have been put out of sight. Say, my sins have been put out of sight. Glory to God. Man, whose sins are put out of sight? That's me. I said, that's me. See the next verse. Whose sins are put out of sight? He said, yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. I know they're talking about me here. The Lord has cleared my record of sin. So that's why you see, bring any case before me, I know it's going to be sorted. Do you know why? I'm not operating by my righteousness. By my righteousness, that case may fail. But by God's righteousness, that case will not fail. The devil, or Bible calls the devil the father of all liars. So what does he do? He keeps telling you things that the Bible did not say. You're a liar, you're a sinner, you're this, your words will not fail. You that have not even prayed very well. You that have you when like to do fast. All of those things the devil is saying to you is to convince you that your prayer should not be answered. And once you accept that, when you are shooting words, it's like you are just wasting, shooting gun without bullets. Because in here, there is nothing. I know who I am. I said, I know who I am. I said, I know who I am. I said, I know who I am. Glory to God. So, do you know who you are? So, who are you? And somebody said, my name is. No. Who are you? Who are you? You're righteous in Christ. I'm a righteous man. God bless. Have your seat. I'm a righteous man. So, that's where we begin to tell the story of faith from. So there is a relationship between righteousness and prayer. That's what I'm trying to show you. Righteousness and faith. Amen. Like, that's what I wanted to show you. I don't know. I've just been watching the audience here, whether I should just say what I want to say. And it's the story of Samson. You know Samson? How did Samson lose his power? They cut his hair. Right? Glory to God. Do you know, Samson not cutting his hair, I'm going to say these things to you, was not the only thing he did wrong. Are you aware? Samson was told, before he was born, he should not drink any strong drink. Samson broke all of that. Samson was told not to touch a dead body. Samson killed a lion and touched the body, even took honey from the body. Samson was told not to lay with a strange woman. He was lying with strange women back to back with prostitutes, including Delilah. Every instruction Samson was given, Samson broke all of them. Can I also say, there is no place in the prophecy about Samson where the Bible said that his power will be in his hair. There is no place. There is no place. I pray God helps you understand what I'm going to say this morning. If you don't understand it, just leave it. One day you will. So, how come when they cut his hair, power left? Are you here? Now, before I answer that question, let's fast forward to later. Because they cut his hair, plucked out his eyes, and they kept him as a slave. You know, later, his hair grew again. Now, when his hair grew again, did his strength come back? Actually, no. It was that one thing he prayed and spoke to God in prayer. That strength came back. That tells you that strength was never in that hair. What I want to show you is, the devil can set up things for you and make you feel like, once you break this one, you are gone. And once you accept that thing, if you break that thing, you will be gone. It may not be what God wants. It may be the lie the devil has set on your way and you accepted it. Are you following I'm talking about at all? So you see a lady that will tell you, what am I going to use now? You just grow up to believe that once this happen, that will happen to you. If the devil keeps throwing that lie into your heart, I've handled many cases. And I used to tell this story. A woman came to my house. The daughter brought her many years ago for me to pray for her. And what was the issue? She was looking for a male child. She had had a few, like two or three female children. Wanted a male child. Every time she takes in, she will miscarry. Every time she takes in, she will miscarry. And it kept happening. So they brought her to me. So the daughter was like, there's this brother. I was not even a pastor. He used to pray for us then in our school. Come and meet him. So she came. And I told her, encouraged her, God is going to do it and all of that. She said, even at this point, my husband wasn't even. In fact, she even encouraged her husband to look for a second wife to marry so that they can bring in a male child. It was that bad. Amen. So what did I do? I began to pray for her. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you because you are going to. Emdala is swung to that prayer, my eyes opened like a flash.
You saw it.
And I spoke to her, said, madam, there is something about you still connected to your youthful days. This is what I'm saying. She broke down and said, I cry. She said, I know. I said, madam, I've not said, I know. That's why I've not had a male child. I said, tell me. So I was committing abortion when I was young. I know that's why God. You see where the problem is? So she said, but I've begged him now. I've begged that I'm sorry. So I said, so are you trying to say that female children are not important? So you committed an abortion. The abortion did not stop the birth of female children, but it could stop the birth of a male child. Are you following what I'm saying? So what I did for her, I told her, I prayed for her, I told her God has forgiven you, convinced her, and she obviously accepted that God has forgiven her. The next year, she had a baby boy. Right? What was the problem? The devil set up a standard of condemnation in her heart. That because you've broken this, you can never do this. So every time she takes sin, that thought of her youthful days comes rushing. And eventually she will miscarry that baby. Don't let the devil bring you to that kind of... Are you following me, everybody, this morning? You are a righteous man. So when you want to release your faith, don't ever let the devil bring pictures of, oh, you did that, that, that. Anything you did that is not right, you stop it. Perhaps letting that stool still no more. You stop it. But don't think that that is now something the devil can hold on to mess your life up. Stay full of faith. Stay full of faith. Stay out of the condemnation zone. Stay in the righteousness zone. Be in that consciousness of the fact that God has made you righteous. Somebody shout amen. So this is where faith thrives. This is the zone faith thrives. Once you are in the faith, in the righteousness zone, faith thrives. Faith thrives. Hallelujah. Somebody, you know, I've shared this story many, many times, if you're listening to me. Somebody was going to cast out devils. They were in a group, I think deliverance, they were in a group, trying to cast out them from a young girl. And they were clapping. You know, have you seen that kind of deliverance before? Have you seen it? People just gather around someone and are praying and are clapping. Uh-huh. And the girl they were about to cast out the devil from, somewhere in the midst of prayer, she started laughing. Said laughing very loud. Laughed and laughed and laughed. I said, look at these people. People want to cast me out. Real life story. So want to cast me out? Now I laughed. I said, you. 2 days ago, and she was telling them what they did one by one. You did this. Is it all true? You that don't even pray this morning. And everything she was saying was very correct. Amen. So when she finished talking, she has knocked them out. So the leader of that prayer group said, the Bible said that the prayer of a sinner is an abomination unto the Lord. So let us all kneel down and confess our sins to God. Now, remember, they were praying around this girl. So all of them knelt down. Guess who was standing in the middle? The possessed girl. They all started walking around looking at them. And they were all praying and crying, Lord, we are sorry. You know what is happening? The devil played. That he played the condemn. He always plays that card. You know, I used to tell this story. When I was younger as a Christian, I was about to cast out the devil from a young girl. Many of you begin to do mighty things after this meeting. Now you get what I'm saying? You will. I'm about to cast out the devil from a young girl. She was there. I was saying, in the name of Jesus. The girl started laughing. And I said, Kabu Ratalaba. I said, what's what he does? And the girl said, talking rubbish. That happened to me. Talking rubbish. Then I was still trying to understand whether my tongues was real or fake. He said, talking rubbish. I said, like I said, nonsense, talking nonsense. You know, I don't even know who taught me. But then, I just, of course, the thing hit me. I told you, this way was work. I said, what if for real? it's rubbish I'm talking. Because she was under a very strong influence of the devil. I said, but something told me, even Satan, they told me when I received the Holy Ghost, that Satan does not understand tongues. So how will the devil be able to know whether I'm talking rubbish or not? So I said, I continued. I stood down for the next 3-5 minutes. He said, please stop. I smiled. That experience changed my life, because the devil always plays that card. Some of you, if they had said, talking rubbish. If you say, even myself, I don't even understand the tongues I'm speaking. Maybe it's even rubbish. So there is no card the devil will not play. Once he can take you out of that zone where you are aware of who you are in Christ, he has won the game. Everybody are now saying, come out of him. Things are changing. Life is transforming. Yeah. You don't even believe what you're saying. So that's why it's necessary that every time there are books, for instance, that you have to be reading. Okay? I have a book called Resofact. I don't know if you have some copies, but if I have some copies here, that book is actually free. I'll give it free to anybody that is here that has not read the book. Are you following me? That book will teach you about everything Christ has done on the cross. How the Resofact means, Resofact is a combination of two words, resurrection facts. Amen. So I'll be able to give that book to everybody if I leave. There's another book called, I'm just giving an example of how I grew to where I am today. There's another book called Letters to My Heart. The book, you read it, and you read it to yourself. Tell things the Lord has said concerning you, you are writing to yourself. I have many books like that. I have a book called Prayer Force that will tell you about how to pray and have results. That one is not free. Letters to My Heart is not free too. The rest of that is free. That is God you never knew. But I'm saying all this to show you, I came to this work because one of the things that will help you is that you must keep feeding your heart with the truth of your righteousness. There are authors I read again and again. Because what the devil can uninstall this thing from your head, I begin to feel I'm not perfect. And those thoughts always come when you are in your down moment. He will send them in. Amen. So you think that after school now, you get a job. You that did exam and practice in USS1. You now want to come and get a job. We realize there are people that did exam and practice in their WAEC, JAMB, first year, second year, both results safe. But they are working. Now, so are you saying if you do exam and practice? If you do exam and practice after this meeting, they will catch you. Don't worry. I'm totally against my practice. Totally. Okay, totally. But I'm saying if there is a mistake you've made, let it be in the past. Don't let the devil bring up those condemnations to you. I don't know what I'm saying, everybody. Don't let the devil bring them up. They've happened. It's time to move on. And God wants you to release your faith so you can have mighty results. Are you still here? So, that faith thing, or that righteousness thing, is one the devil will use to try to stop you. Amen. Now, so, first settle this righteousness in your heart. Then, another thing I'm going to show you, which we will explain further tomorrow. Okay, maybe when Pastor Casey comes, he will explain that further tomorrow. Is the fact that, I'm going to show you the fact that there is faith. And that's the way faith works. One of those things is, faith does not work until the will of God is known. Yes. Faith does not work until the will of God is known. So, Brother Egan will put it this way. Faith begins where the will of God is known. So, look at what I'm going to show you. If I want to, because we're talking about speak yesterday. If I want to have results, my words do not work just because I'm saying them. They work because they are the words of God. Now, hear what I'm going to say. You want to have results, put God's word on your lips and begin to say them. But then how can you put God's word on your lips where you don't even know the word of God? So, I want to have results in my studies. Faith begins when I look at the Bible to find out what did God say concerning my studies. When I now find it out, I cannot begin to speak. That's why faith confession is beyond positive confession. It's not just saying any good thing that comes to your mind. It begins when you found out the will of God over a matter. So, I'm sick. I want to release my faith. Where should I start from? I should be able to know what did the Bible say about my health. What did God say concerning my health? What did God say concerning this sickness? I now find that, let me show you something. In Isaiah, is it Isaiah? So the first Samuel rather, chapter 30 verse 8. So you find out from two places, from the word of God and via prayer, what is the will of God over this matter? Then you begin to speak it. This story was a case of when they captured David's wife and captured his children. And David came back. He asked, he said, he inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fear recover all. Verse 9. And David went, he and the 600 men were with him, and they began to pursue those guys and all of that. What I'm trying to show you is this. David did not just come back and say, they've taken my wife and my children. Oh yeah, let's go. He said, Lord, should I? Because faith is actually acting on the word of God. So you cannot actually be practice and release faith if you actually don't know what God has said. That's why tonight, there will be a teaching connecting faith and prayer. Because if you're not a person of prayer, you cannot be a person of faith. It is, and if you're not a person of the word, you cannot be a person of faith. Faith and prayer. You see, word of God and prayer, they make faith work. Because it is by studying the word and by praying that you find, get to know what God is saying over this matter. Then you can now stand on that thing that God is saying and begin to release your faith. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Do you understand what I'm saying? So, I need money. So, what should I start saying when I need money? Because since they are saying we should talk. What should I say? I start saying money is coming. I don't actually talk like that. The first thing I will do is, what did the Bible say concerning finances? I will check the Bible. When I see what the Bible says concerning finances, I will now get to prayer and begin to pray with those words. In the presence of the prayer, God will tell me other things. He might just give me a word. I have supplied. Or things have changed. That is what I will now put on my lips and now begin to speak. Faith begins where the will of God is known. So that's why if you're not a person that studies the Bible over a matter and you don't know how to prove a matter, you actually cannot release faith effectively. Because it is by knowing what God has said, you now stand on what God has said and keep repeating it. That's how it's now going to work. Because faith is not speaking empty words. Faith is speaking the word of God. So David did not just pursue after the troop because he said, I'm a man of faith, I can pursue them. He asked, should I? And when God said, you can. Let me show you something else. Acts 27 verse 20. Acts 27 verse 20. I have 10 more minutes. Have you been blessed? Acts 27, 20. Hallelujah. Now, when did that song, because they were on the high sea in the story. They were on the high sea, traveling on the high sea. And there was waves and all of that. When did that sun or stars in many days appeared? And no small tempest. Put up NLT, please, so that nobody's going to be confused. See, the terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars until at last all hope was gone. No one had eaten for a long time. Finally, Paul called the crew together and said, men, you should have listened to me in the first place and not left Crete. You would have avoided all this damage and loss. Next verse. But take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. How did Paul... Why is Paul... Now, this is speaking God's word. Nobody will die here. But do you know, Paul did not just stay in there because that's what he wanted. See the background of the story. Next verse. For last night, an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood before me. And said, don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. What's more, God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. So what Paul told them will happen was what he has heard from God. Are you know what I'm saying? So Paul did not just stand up and start saying, let me tell you, nobody is dying here. Mm-mm. He got a word. That's why there is need to know the word, and there is need to commit to prayer. It is the word of God that drops in your spirit that you now begin to release as faith. Are you learning something, everybody? So faith begins when you've known God's will. So Paul did not just stand up and say, see, let me tell you guys, somebody's going to die. I tell you, you know if he die. Well, that's actually what he wants. That's also what God wants. But make sure your faith is based either on a word you've gotten from God or a word you've seen from scriptures. Because one of the ways God will speak to you in tough times is through the word of God, through the scriptures. You know, you can be praying and things are not working well, or you can study your Bible and just come across one verse. And you hold on to it. You hold on to it. There are people I know, the verse that saw them through school was Joshua 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night. Hallelujah. He said, for there you will observe to do what is written therein. He said, and you shall have good success. Good success. So I know people throughout their school days, if you come to their room, they pasted everywhere in their room, I have good success. Because that word has come up. They keep saying there is good success. Now, that's not just about positive confession and saying sweet, sweet things to yourself. It is something you've seen from God's word. And because God's word cannot fail, when you put it on your own lips, it cannot fail. Are you following what I'm saying here? So, there is need for you to know God's word. And as I close today, I'm going to challenge you. You see, reading your Bible, listening to God's word, reading Christian books is very important, because where you need to release your faith, it is the word of God that you know that you will stand on. That's why if you are bankrupt of the word, if there is not enough word in your that you know, where there is a challenge, you just be speaking, what should I say now? Pastor said we should say sweet things. Which one should I say now? I will make it. I will blow. That's not how these things work. Then you shout, I will blow. That's not a bad thing to say. But is that what God said to you? Even if there is nothing you heard from God in prayer, let that be a verse you're standing on. He has borne our griefs. He has borne our sickness. You can stand on that. Amen. Some years ago, this verse lighted up in my spirit. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. Actually, the original in the Greek, when he says, I wish above all things, it's not just a wish. It actually means, I pray that you prosper and be in health. So actually, God wants me to prosper, wants me to be in health. So I began to use that in the name of Jesus. I prosper and I'm in health. I prosper. Everything I do, everything I touch, I prosper. Now, I'm not saying that from my head. I'm saying that because it is what God has said in his word. Please follow me this afternoon. That's what God has said. And I'm holding on to it. So that's how faith works, actually. I feel how faith works. You know that's my topic, right? Huh? How faith works. I said it yesterday. So you find God's word and you store on it. So Jeremiah 29 verse 11. I know the thoughts I have towards you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. To give an expected end. I experience peace. I experience peace. I experience shalom. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. Nothing damaged. Ooh. You read Isaiah 54 verse 17. He said, no weapon formed or fashioned against you shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, God shall, or you shall condemn. That's something you can run with. So because of this word of God, that no weapon formed against me or fashioned against me shall prosper. Therefore, you forces rising against me, I turn you back now. Because some of you might think, when I said I blocked that guy's line, that native doctor guy that was trying to, I actually said something if I blocked his line. Amen. The Bible said he maketh diviners mad. He frustrates the tokens of liars. And he makes diviners mad. Amen. I was studying the Bible. One day, that was a tough, you know. I just noticed people were trying to. I sensed in the spirit there was a time there was a lot of conspiracy around me. people are trying to do crazy things. I knew it. But I even told my wife. I said, I see a conspiracy. Were we married then? Were we already married then? When I was telling this, the conspiracy thing. No, courtship, yes. I said, I see a conspiracy. I was saying, I told her, look at the people I'm seeing in this conspiracy. Like, and this is, I saw it like plain, like a vision. And I began to pray. The vast that lighted up in my heart, he turned the counsel of Ahithophel to foolishness. Ah, that was it. I said, Father, turn the counsel of Ahithophel to foolishness. Let their wise ones begin to think foolishly. I pray some kind of dangerous prayers in my life. Oh. That's why when you now begin to make stupid decisions, you don't know where it's coming from. Because now, it's not some people delete. That's why people don't say they release for nothing works. So somebody is conspiring against you. Holy Ghost fire, back to sender. That's not faith. Don't release your faith. Holy Ghost fire. That's so quack. It is you that they will conspire against. That's not faith. It is the word of God you are releasing in faith. Are you following me, friends? Some even begin to curse. Thunder fire you. It is your own word. No, it's not me. That's not faith release. So you get God's word, find it, buy the truth, and sell it not. You stay with it. Is someone learning something this day? Stay with it. So you go to gospel. So people say that listen to their faith, all they're shouting is Holy Ghost fire. Holy Ghost fire. Let me even clear you. Holy Ghost fire is not even something you used to pray against the devil. How many of you have Holy Ghost fire? I have the Holy Ghost fire. I have the fire of the Holy Ghost. So you want to bind the devil, say Holy Ghost fire, yeah, blessing him. Holy Ghost fire doesn't kill. It's settled on the head of the apostles. And they began to speak in tongues. Are you following me? Say, Holy Ghost fire. Holy Ghost fire. No, that's not how to fight. So. When David stood before Goliath, he was not shouting, Holy Ghost fire. Holy Ghost fire. He was speaking, the Lord will give you into my hands. Yeah, he was speaking words that have come up in his spirit. He said, who is this? You know, the word that David used to take Goliath out for me is that word, uncircumcised. He kept reminding Goliath of who he was. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine to rise against the arm of the living God? There are things that light up in your spirit like this. There's no Holy Ghost fire. See that verse the Lord gave me. You guys found it. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, oh Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. That's the verse I used. It's something you can fight with. When people are sitting in your office conspiring against you, there are dangerous verses. So say, Lord, turn their counsel to foolishness. So the one that used to bring out the smartest stuffs when I begin to think foolish things. There's a reason why things conspired against us don't prosper. We know how to deal with it. And this was the verse. For long I prayed that prayer. You are turning the counsel of Ahithophel to foolishness. Turn their counsel to foolishness. I told you, faith speaks and speaks and speaks. But I was not just speaking empty words. The Lord had given me this verse. The day the Lord gave me the verse, that verse I usually use for some of you. When things are going wrong, to subvert a man in his own cause, the Lord does not approve of it. That wasn't about me anyway. Was about somebody was telling me I've worked, they refuse to pay me, and I keep calling them, they don't want to go. After complain, I was just, and he says, so how did the Lord God give you that word? That's why I told you I've been studying the Bible. At least I know that verse exists in the Bible. I get to the point. At least I know that some of you have never seen this verse in your life. Two of us. Say a verse you've never seen in your life, how will God now light it up in your spirit? So you must learn to read your Bible. I know what I'm talking about. So the basic complaint, that is happening to me. And then I just praying, and I just said that verse in my heart. To subvert a man in his course, the Lord does not approve of it. Ah! And I knew it had come. And I just started to suffer time in his course. Of course, actually, that person did not actually know I quoted Bible. But they didn't know. He has never seen it in the Bible. But it was okay. But the verse had come. The word has come. The Lord has not approved it. And so the things just turned around. Because whatever the Lord does not approve of cannot stand. Because only the counsel of the Lord shall stand. Yeah. Only the counsel of the Lord. You must know that that's how faith works. You get it. Then you run. Have you prayed to a point? You know, sometimes when you're praying over a matter, what you're looking for is that word. And when you cast, Job said, I found it. Because when you find it, you know you found it. Things may not have changed, but you found it. The woman of God was praying over her child that was sick. Prayed and prayed for long. Prayed for long. And suddenly she heard the scripture. Surely he had borne our griefs. And I thought, he said the word that lettered in her spirit was surely. And she just stopped and started shouting, surely! Surely! The child got up. It is, you war with words. But not empty words. It's the word of God you make war with. Please follow me, everybody. You get it. So faith begins with God's will. It is God's word. It's God's word. Woo, hallelujah. That's why you must give yourself to studying the Bible. Of course, prayer. Both of them. Because when the die is cast, it is God's word that lights up your spirit that will come through. I sense a very strong anointing in this place. I'm saying what I'm saying. Very strong anointing. Because we're going to take like 10 minutes to pray. Who play this song? Most High, the God of heaven. Most High, ruler of the earth.
Most High,
yes,
King of nations. Hallelujah.
Yes. Yes. Do you guys know this song? Sing it again. Say, Most High.
Most High.
Yes.
God of heaven.
Shegala da baroko na tiada.
Most High. Ruler of the earth.
Hey. King of nations,
King of nations, Alleluia.
To God,
to God, most high.
One more time. Say, most high. Say, Most High, sing
Most High.
Ruler of the earth, come on.
Ruler of the earth. Most High.
King of nations.
King of nations.
It works when you get a word from God. And talking about faith, I was telling you yesterday, faith must insist, faith must be stubborn. Let me say this to you, and maybe this is what I'm going to close. The reason why, even when you get those words from God, they tend to fail, as it were, is because you've not learned how to be stubborn, how to insist. You know, I told you guys something. It's like when you get into a restaurant, you order food, and then they delay. When you order food and they delay in bringing the food, what to do is not to say, oh, these people are not serious, and you walk out. If you've paid, you stay, you call them again. What's delaying the food? You are insisting. The man that has not learned how to be stubborn with the word of God will actually always have failed prophecies. Some of us, the only thing we have are just excitements. You just say, after the excitement, what next? You stay. Faith is stubborn, though. Know that it's a scripture that we all quote. Matthew 7 verse 7. Ask, it shall be given unto you. Seek, you shall find. Knock. Maybe you think it's just when you just come, ask, you receive. That's not how it works. Proper NLT. And you leave a translation. Everybody please watch. Read with me. Keep on asking, you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, you will find. Keep on knocking. Amplified Classic, please. Amplified Classic. Amplified Classic. Keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Keep on seeking, you will find. Keep on knocking reverently, and the door will be opened to you. So there is need for insistence. Are you following me? Elijah wanted rain. After he had said there will be no rain, he wanted rain to fall again. First Kings 18. And then he began to, he bent down his head and told his servant, go check if rain has come. He went and said, go check. You say, I saw nothing. He went again, I see nothing. Many of us stop at the first, I see nothing. Check again, I see nothing. Check again. Even if they see nothing for five times, you keep going back there. 1 Kings 18:41. I'm going to close with that now. Woo! Of course, you should be saying King James. Woo! Melene meshumbre dele gambrataya. Verse 41. Is this, are you there? Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is sound of rain. Now watch. He has told Ahab there will be sound of rain because God has told him rain will come. But you notice the fact that he just released the word doesn't mean it will happen automatically. So see the next verse. So Ahab went to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel and he cast himself upon the earth and put his face between his knees. Between his knees. And said to his servant, go up now and look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. Because one of the things you must know about faith is that faith does not consider contradictions. When they keep saying, there is nothing. Some of us, when you say there is nothing, say, eh. Where now? Ahab, don't worry, rain is no more coming. There is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. And I was, keep it, he come back, there is nothing. He said, go again, came back, there is nothing. Go again, seven times. He says, it's because seven is the number of anything. No, that's what he's saying. He just meant he kept going till at the seventh time the thing showed. So what if Elijah had waited for seventh time nothing happened? He would have said, go again. Go again. Go again. And I feel like saying that to somebody by the Holy Ghost. Go again. When you speak God's word, God said, I'm going to make you this, make you that. So God said that to me 3 years ago. Well, you've stopped insisting with it. There are words I've spoken every day of my life for like years now. Every day. Every day. I told you guys yesterday, the day the Lord spoke to me clearly, he said, from now, your supply will now be bigger than your needs. I can't forget. Now, when he was saying that, I was broke. Broke like from Brooklyn. Totally broke. Nothing. He said, from now, your supply. Say, amen. But I know how to war with words. Say, every day, my supply is bigger than my needs. My supply. I kept saying that. Of course, some of you that are in church, you know, at the time, that was our offering confession for some time. Because I kept saying that one day, and the other line came up. My supply is bigger than my needs. I have what to give. I have what to spend. I have much more left over.
What? Because some of you think how we write those confessions, I will see them and begin to say, what do we write next? My supply. What should follow? It's not. And that's how some foolish people write songs. That's how to write secular. That's how to write a Christian song. Christian songs are better from the spirit. You wait for the next line. You wait for a song can take 2 months to develop. Except you want to forge it and start looking for rhymes. Because the first line said Wana, the next one should be Ghana. No. So I kept doing that. My supply is bigger than my needs. I have what to give. I have what to spend. I have much more left over. I have what to give. I have what to spend. I have much more left. And that was it. Because I knew I was going to be a giver. And that word stay every day, every day, every day. Until he began to mature. Do you have words in your life that are beginning to mature right now? Yeah. So sometimes you can remember what he started saying them. At first, it looks like he's lying. But remember, I told you, where do words work where? In the heart. So the more you are saying those things, they were getting into your heart and settling. So faith also consider contradictions. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Do you know why? Do you know why Elisha, for instance? You know Elisha sent Gehazi. Do you remember that story? Elisha sent Gehazi to go raise a woman's son from the dead. And Gehazi came back without results. Don't be Gehazi. Did you hear what I said? What did I say? Come on, tell someone, tell the person, don't be Gehazi. Do you have a voice? Shout it, tell the person, don't be Gehazi. Look for that story for me. I want to show that before I close. While you are standing. Don't be Gehazi. Ooh. Tonight is going to be very powerful. It's a Holy Ghost meeting. We're going to dance in the Holy Ghost tonight. Flow in the tears of the Spirit. Online, on ground, there shall be mighty, mighty moves of God. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. I think that's 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. Ooh. Shemale Pratokosaya. Olebu Brade Kumbrade Labu Shakataya. Zemele de Berebe de Berebe Shubrekede de Leberekede de Berebe Lebe Shopratia. Endo Gujimbra de Leprocoto Lefregatela Basombrataya. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Kabala Baroko to Lebush. Verse 29. He said to Gehazi, get up thy loins, take my staff in thy hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute thee, answer him not again. Lay my staff upon the face of the child. He said, lay my staff. Lay my staff. Now, see the problem. Verse 31. Gehazi passed on before them. And laid himself upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child did not wake. That's how some of us treat prophetic words. She said, I should lay staff. Oh, yeah. Bah. Chinidu. The child did not wake. She said, I'm blessed. They said, God said, he's turning me into a millionaire, or I'm going to be a gospel giant. I said, I've been gospel 2 weeks. The child did not wake. But look at the difference. When Elisha was coming to the house, verse 32, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in there, shut the door upon them twain, and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up upon the child and put his mouth on the child and all of that. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him again. And the child sneezed 7 times. So he tells you, Elisha didn't see that child did not happen in 1 minute. He prayed, stretched himself upon the child. The child became a bit warm. He stood up. He went around again.
Of course, person in the Holy Ghost. He came back again, stretched again. So what should Gehazi have done? Will you put the staff once? What do? Put it again. Put it again. Come out. Walk up and down. Flop the child with the staff. Put it again. That's what you do. You stay stubborn with what God has given you. So God said this was going to happen to my results, but it's not looking like it. God said this was going to happen to my business. It's not looking like it. You stay on it. I'm bold to tell you that there are words that I've stayed on for 5 years. And God, did they mature? Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Amen. I said amen. My first car. I declared I was going to get a car, my very first car, for over 1 year. But I don't like trekking. I didn't like it. Even I'm just declaring, my car is here. And my dad, pastor, was speaking one day, and he told us something, was confessing. And that lighted up in my spirit. I began to say it too. He said those days he was trekking, he was jumping bike. He always said to himself, I remember those days when I was still trekking. He was on top of bike. So that was me too. I kept saying that. The next thing that's going to happen to me next year, I'm saying it now. He called those things that be not as though they were. You don't consider contradictions. I mean, you are speaking God's word and then you are declaring over your finance and then your pocket goes empty. That's if I want to speak for much more. Don't be like a cast. Don't go back and say, the child did not wake. So that word you gave us at the beginning of the year, that this is going to be our year of this, it did not work. That's how a foolish Christian talks. The other wise Christian knows to hold on to the word of God and contend with it. Be on your feet, everybody. If you are still sitting, be on your feet, everybody. Hold someone by your side. Hold someone by your side. Woo! Hold someone by your side. Where the bushina la barakate ya kodash. God's word has never failed. If there is a situation around your life now, we are going to pray in the Holy Ghost. Words are going to light up in your spirit. And we will have time to contend with those words later in this meeting. Because that's how we do it. If your finance is not where you want it, we're going to pray. If your business is not where you want it, we're going to pray. If your study is not where you want it, we're going to pray. As we begin to pray, God will give you... Well, this prayer is going to be for 10 minutes, so don't stop. You're going to pray with every intensity. And your eyes will open, some of your ears will open, some of you, things will rise up in your heart. And you will see the path that you must walk. Because faith will begin when the will of God is known. When the will of God is known. When the will of God is known. Lift your voice. Pray in the Holy Ghost all over this place. Pray in the Holy Ghost. I want to hear you. Come on. With every intensity that you have. That's how to pray. Pray. Much more intensity. Come on. Elebereba shumbre dele karabasu barataya. Ela baroko shumbre dele brekete kuna sataya. Ela boko shumbrenda kia kambratila. Eya babaroko shimalataya barakole bozaya. Ebra kokumberebebe shinene melebrekete ya basule paya. Ela baraba kuko barekande ada rototo bobobo shigala bataya. Come on, pray. Come on. Woo.
Add some more intensity. Come on. Add some more intensity. Come on. God's word will light up on your spirit. Just pray. Ayabaraba shamala namaraba tekaraba shule barataya. Coming up. Pray, pray, pray. Come on, it's coming up. Shunebele garabataya.
More that's found in you. Because we know there's more that's found
in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Do you believe the word of God will not fail? So the things he has put in your heart, you learn to stay with them for long, and it will produce results. Are you following what I'm talking about here? They will produce results. It doesn't matter how long it has taken. As a matter of fact, I think sometimes it's even okay for you if God's word seems to take longer than it should have. The reason is because in that process, you are learning some things. You are developing some things. Whatever issue you prayed about, I declare them settled. I say I declare them settled in the name of Jesus. Whatever issue you contended with, this will be the end of that issue now. In the name of Jesus, you have results now. Supernatural results now. Your testimonies are here now. They are abounding. They are overflowing. In the name of Jesus. This will not be the same again. Enjoy victories. I say enjoy victories. I say enjoy victories. I say enjoy victories. In the name of Jesus. And some of you, Lord, I should say to you, if I close, some of you are very close to your harvest season. That's what I heard. Let me tell you what that means. Some of you have been contending over some issues for some time. You are very close to the answer. This is the wrong time to stop. This is the wrong time to stop believing. This is the wrong time to stop contending. You are very close. I'm actually seeing this in the spirit. You are very close. So what is meant to happen by 6 o'clock? Don't stop by 5:45. Don't stop by 5:50. It's actually close. Your words are not going to waste. Your words are not waste. You've been declaring, you've been speaking, you've been praying. That answer is just right where you are now. And it will no longer be long, it shall manifest. And for many of you, before the end of this year, you have your answers in your hands already. For many of you. Many of you, even this month. Some of you, this month. Again, for some of you this month. So it's no longer far. So this is the wrong time to stop. But the point is, you don't stop. Look at the picture the Lord showed me in my spirit. You are driving to somewhere. You actually don't know the place. But they tell you, when you get there, you see a signpost. And then some of you are 5 minutes away from the place. And you want to stop and turn back. You don't turn back now. You don't turn back now. Keep driving. It's close. That dream job is around you now. That dream job. You are very close. You are very close. You are very close. That dream job, very close. That dream job, very close. I don't know who needs that word. That dream job, very close. That job, very close. Very, very close now. Can you see what I'm talking about? That job is very close now. It's very close now. It's very close now. This is not the time to stop contending. It's very close now. Some of you have been praying to take your environment, to take your city, to take your school. God is very close where you are now. Very soon, the hearts of God begin to respond to you.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.